వరధారి యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమున తీరవన చారి
హరే కృష్ణ
యమున తీరవన చారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపి జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపి జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి జయ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధే జయ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధే జయ ప్రభుపద జయ ప్రభుపద జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీమద్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీమద్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఠాకూర్ ప్రభుపాద్ కి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ్ సకహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధన్ కి బ్రజభూమి శ్రీ వృందావన్ ధామ్ కి పురుషోత్తమ క్షేత్ర శ్రీ జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి గంగమైకి జయ యమునమైకి జయ భక్తిదేవికి జయ తులసీదేవికి జయ గ్రంథరా శ్రీమద్భాగవతం కి జయ కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తన కి జయ హరే కృష్ణ మహామంత్ర కి జయ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ
హరే కృష్ణ. So welcome to our Sunday feast program, and I am feeling very privileged to introduce our speaker today, His Grace Gaurang Darshan Das Prabhu. So just give me a few seconds. I just wanted to introduce properly, because he has so much jewels in his bag. So basically, he is a disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, and he is a dean at GV Wada for Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth Research Center. I think most of you know that recently we have started this research center in Wada. Also, he is a member of Board of Examinations for all those ISKCON studies which has happened. So he is a board of members for that as well. From materialist perspective, he is basically and holds master's degree from IIS Bangalore, which is a very prestigious institute in India. Everybody knows about it. From spiritual perspective, he teaches Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrit, and Vaishnav characters to various devotees. He travels across India and across world as well, conducting spiritual courses. He has written many books basically, for example, Gita Subodhini, Bhagwat Subodhini, Chaitanya Subodhini, and specially about a book called Disapproved But Not Disowned, and also Bhagwat Prabha and Gita the Jewel books. So many books he has written it. So if you got a chance to buy those books from the gift center. He is basically a special font for reciting, meditating scriptural verses and compiled vital verses in the form of books which I just mentioned. Also, he runs a free monthly e-magazine. So who are interested in internet and want to get messages from him, so he has an e-magazine called Bhagwat Pradipika. And he writes regularly on various articles in the books in BTG magazine as well, and international and Indian edition as well. Just coming to an end, he known for his scriptural discourses with captivating visuals and presentations, giving a bird's eyes to an entire book or a section. He has delivered more than 4,000 hours of discourses. He has guided students and several Vidyapeeth batches, especially in their scriptural studies. He also oversees a DT worship at GE. So we welcome Prabhuji again. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపః కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురోః శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణారఘునాథన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ వెరీ గ్రేట్ఫుల్ టు దిస్ ప్రివిలేజ్ ఆఫ్ స్పీకింగ్ కృష్ణ కథ in Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir, where we are all trained from our infancy in spiritual life. And I am grateful to Nanda Goprabhu and the organizers for the program. And today is a very special celebration. So we are celebrating the appearance of our foremost scripture, Bhagavad Gita. And this is the birthday of a song. And I was asked to speak a few words about Bhagavad Gita. So when do we appreciate a song? When we like the meaning of the song? or maybe the music of the song. So either the music or the melody or the meaning of the song, if it is enchanting to our hearts, then we love it. Further, if you also like the writer of the song or the singer of the song, our attraction towards the song increases even more. So now here is a song by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, directly. And sure enough, he must be the favorite singer of all the devotees of Krishna. Certainly it's very melodious. It's written in very beautiful Sanskrit. And surely it is completely meaningful. It has great relevance to our practical lives. So thus, the scriptural songs, whether it is Gita or Bhagavatam, they are described to be Shrotra Manobhiramat. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this shloka comes, Nivritta Tarshai Rupagiya Manat Bhavushadhat Shrotra Manobhiramat. Shrotra Mano Abhiramat means these songs are very pleasing to our ears, Shrotra. Mano, they are also very pleasing to our hearts. So the scriptural songs like Gita or Bhagavatam are very pleasing to the ears through their sound, and they are very pleasing to the heart through their meaning. Meaning appeals to the heart, and music, melody, sound, meter appeals to the ears. So oftentimes in this material world, the songs may appeal to us for a short amount of time because of their meaning or meter or whatever. But after some time, maybe few years or few generations, the materialistic songs may find maybe quite irrelevant. But here is a scriptural song which is ever relevant. Krishna spoke this song on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and it's more than 5,000 years, still we are celebrating. Still this Bhagavad Gita is being found relevant in the lives of so many spiritual seekers who value a higher purpose in life. And we are celebrating the birthday of this song. So we don't find many songs that are written, and we are celebrating the day of writing or singing of that song. But here is Bhagavad Gita, which has a very special seat in all the songs of this world. It's actually a song beyond this world. We are celebrating the birthday of a song because it is the song of God. This is not just simple Gita. It is Bhagavad Gita. It is spoken by Bhagavan Krishna. Whenever Krishna speaks a shloka in Bhagavad Gita, he is addressed not as Sri Krishna Uvacha or Sri Vasudeva Uvacha. It is Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. It is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is endowed with all opulences is speaking. So it's a direct instruction of Krishna. There are so many scriptures written by Vyasadeva. So, but here is a scripture which is also compiled by Vyasadeva, but predominantly out of 7,700 verses, most of them are spoken by Krishna directly. These are the direct instructions of the Supreme Lord Krishna to the humanity. So Krishna, being the personality of Godhead and the singer of this song, makes it very relevant. Directly God is speaking. Who is the better well-wisher of all of us than God? So certainly it's most relevant because Krishna is directly speaking. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is repeatedly spoken in Bhagavad Gita by himself. And Bhagavatam and other scriptures give great acknowledgement to this fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with so many historic evidences and pastimes and descriptions of his various incarnations, which are of multiple categories. Within Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mattah parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam protam sutre maniganayiva. Mattah parataram na anyat. There is no one superior to me. Kinchidasti dhananjaya. There is no truth which is better than me. Mai sarvam idam protam sutre maniganayiva. If you consider all the variegatedness in this entire cosmic manifestation as pearls, beautiful pearls, Krishna is like that thread that keeps all the pearls together on the necklace. So, sutre maniganayiva. So, without being put together, strung together by a string, the pearls cannot stay together in a necklace. So Krishna is the basis or foundation of everything. There may be some speculators who may give misinterpretation to the statements of Gita, but we get the right understanding from the Vaishnava scriptures. So there is, when I was studying in college, somebody, one of our co-students, we were working for a drama. So somehow it's a philosophical drama, and we were discussing on Gita philosophy somehow at one point, and this shloka came, mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. And that person said, he was a PhD student, I was a master student. He said, mattaha parataram nanyat means Krishna is saying that no one is different from me, everybody is God. Okay, that is his understanding of Gita. But somehow by Prabhupada's mercy, at that time I was very new, my understanding was mattaha parataram nanyat means there is no one superior to Krishna. Krishna is the greatest. But he says parataram na anyat, no one is different from me, everybody is God. Okay, so that's the interpretation. So unless we get exposed to the bona fide explanations of Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures from bona fide Vaishnava acharyas, we cannot get the right meaning. So it's our great fortune to receive Bhagavad Gita and also hear the explanation of Bhagavad Gita from great acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas. And Krishna, another shloka. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattaha sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. So everything is emanating from me. I am the origin, I am the source, I am the cause of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Everything is emanating from me. Mattaha sarvam pravartate. If you understand that everything is coming from Krishna and then worship Krishna with that understanding, then one is eligible to go back to Godhead also. So understanding the activities and appearances of Krishna is a qualification to go back to Godhead. Krishna also says, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti surjana. So if one understands the janma, appearances of Krishna in various incarnations, karma, the activities of Krishna in our various incarnations, if one understands the divinity and the spiritual nature of these activities and forms and appearances, one is eligible to go back to Godhead. But if one understands them from the concocted, speculated explanations of some speculators, then one will be misguided in one's understanding of the absolute truth. So here directly Krishna is speaking. Bhagavad Gita is of very special significance, and it's the most popular scripture that describes the fundamental concepts of spiritual life. So we will see a few of them little ahead. And Krishna says, people may get impressed with lot of variegatedness in this world, and whatever is beautiful, whatever is great in this entire material realm is only because of me being the origin of all of them. They are nothing but a spark of my splendor. A slight potency of mine is empowering these objects in such a way that they can attract the attention of people in general. Krishna says, yadyad vibhuti matsattvam srimadhurjitam evava tattat evava gachattvam mama tejomsa sambhavam. Whatever great or beautiful or attention attracting that you see in this world is actually originating from Krishna. So you can also try to recite this sloka. Most of you may be knowing this also. Ekam shastram devaki putra geetam. Eko devo devaki putra eva. Eko mantrastasya namani yani. Karmapyekam tasya devasya seva. So, in the Gita Mahatmya, this beautiful shloka comes. Ekam shastram. One scripture is sufficient. What is that scripture? Devaki putra geetam. That Gita which is spoken by the son of Mother Devaki, Krishna. Ekam shastram devaki putra geetam. Eko devo devaki putra eva. There is only one God, Supreme Personality of Godhead, origin of all gods. That is Devaki putra. That is the son of Mother Devaki, Krishna.
Eko mantrastasya namani yani. One mantra is sufficient for our deliverance. So what mantra to chant? We should chant Krishna's mantra.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
So one mantra, which is describing the glory of Krishna, is sufficient for our deliverance. And karma api ekam tasya devasya seva. Karma is activity. One activity is sufficient. What is that activity? Service to Krishna. So service to Krishna, name of Krishna, book spoken by Krishna and Krishna himself. That constitutes the essence of our spiritual life. There is no need to explore so much. In fact, the third line here, Eko mantrastasya namani yani. The chanting of the holy names of Krishna is sufficient means to deliver entire humanity. And this is especially relevant in Kali Yuga. Why? Because in the previous yugas, people have a lot of capacity. They have long life. They may live for thousands of years. Some people may live 10,000 years or 1 lakh years. That is the 1,000 years. This is the lifespan of the previous yugas. Here maximum 100 years in Kali Yuga. So because they have a long lifespan, second, they have good physical strength. They have good intellectual strength. They will hear and they can memorize. And they have good mental strength. Their mind is not constantly distracted or deviated by YouTube or Facebook or WhatsApp, etc. They have limited things in their thing and they can focus on it, right? So their mental strength, their physical strength, their intellectual strength, their lifespan is so much. Some people may just go and do some meditation for 10,000 years. Prachetas went underwater and they were doing tapasya for 10,000 years. Daksha had sent his 10,000 sons to do tapasya in the forest. And some sages will just go into the forest and they will meditate for 20,000 years or 60,000 years. That much lifespan they had. They can spare 10,000 years of training, of their lifespan just for some training. So to that degree, people have capacity in those days. If you ask them, have you had some prasad or some meals? I just took 2,000 years back. I can stay for 3,000 more years. It's okay. So that's the capacity. So because they are so qualified, they cannot consider this chanting of the holy names as a process for deliverance. It is so simple. I can memorize a mantra which is 10 pages long. This one mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that too you are just doing combination of Hare Krishna Ram, only 3 words. There's nothing more, not so complicated mantra. So I don't consider that this one mantra can deliver us. So they think that I should do 60,000 years of meditation or I should do something else. So although the chanting of the holy names is very effective in any yoga, but especially in Kali Yuga, it's the most effective way of means of deliverance, not only from the perspective of its potency, from also the perspective of the person's capacity. So for Kali Yuga people, chanting the whole, doing meditation for 10,000 years is out of question. The maximum thing that they can do is chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra at many times within Kali Yuga. So according to the capacity of these people of this yuga, from that perspective also, chanting of the holy names is the best way of deliverance. So the previous yuga people, they consider it maybe probably below their capacity to just chant just one mantra. So, and on top of it, Kali Yuga people are more desperate. The climatic conditions and the resources and the kind of food they eat, that's very rich and very pristine and pure in the previous yugas, but that is not like that here. This material world is dukkhalayam asashvatam, that is described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. But that realization can be obtained more effectively in Kali Yuga than in previous yugas. Because in Kali Yuga, we can easily understand that this world is dukkhalayam asashvatam. In the previous yugas, it's little difficult. Because this material world, earthly planet also seems to be a very happy place. You get all pure things and you have long life. There is happiness, lot of happiness there. You cannot realize really Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam as much as you do in Kali Yuga. So from all these perspectives, chanting of the holy names is the most effective process, which Krishna emphasizes repeatedly in Bhagavad Gita also. Some people may question, where in Bhagavad Gita it is written, you should chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Krishna says, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. You should always chant my holy names, and that's what purpose is. So, fine, Gita is great. How is it relevant to us? So, let's try to see how relevant is Bhagavad Gita in our context. So, some people might say Gita is meant for sadhus who are wearing saffron, who shaved their heads and they have nothing else to do in life. They can sit and study Gita. Or it's meant for old people. After retirement, they may study Gita. But who is Arjuna? Arjuna is not a sadhu. He was not wearing saffron. He did not shave his head. He was not a renunciant. Arjuna was not an old person. And people might complain that I have so many immediate responsibilities to fulfill. How should I spare time in studying Bhagavad Gita? But who is Arjuna? Arjuna is a kshatriya. He is a family man. He is not an old person. He is not a sadhu. And he has a very immediate responsibility to fulfill. That is to fight in the war. What could be a more emergency situation than fighting in a war? He was about to fight. He already picked up his arrows. He was about to shoot the arrows. Then he was a little confused. Should I fight or not? You came on the battlefield already. No, I am not sure whether you should fight or not. Whether it is proper or not. Probably this is sin. He was confused. So, after a series of tragic events in Mahabharata, where Draupadi was insulted, Bhima was poisoned, and throughout the life of Pandavas, this Duryodhan, Dushasan, Karna, Shakuni, this party tortured them in various ways, and Dhritarashtra, although he was king, he was supporting all these nefarious activities of his sons, headed by Duryodhan. A king is supposed to treat all his citizens equally. And here is a blind king who is unable to treat his own sons and his brother's sons equally. How can he treat all the citizens equally? So, Dhritarashtra is supporting all these activities of Duryodhan, and because of that, so many tragic events happened unnecessarily in a cheating manner. The kingdom of Pandavas was usurped by Duryodhan and party, and they were thrown into forests, and so many attacks were there on them. So, after a series of such tragic events and injustices, finally, after so many negotiations, peace negotiations also, finally it was concluded that better we meet in war. And here is Arjuna, who is one of the main warriors on Pandava's side. Arjuna and Bhima are the topmost warriors on the side of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Arjuna had this Gandiva bow. With this Gandiva bow, Arjuna could impress even Lord Shiva. He received Pashupatastra. And he could impress even Indra. And he could kill Nivata Kavacha demons. He could subdue Maya Danava. So like that, Arjuna had so many great military certificates in his career. Right. He was the favorite student of Dronacharya. So such a great warrior. Just before Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, what was his situation? His hands were trembling. He is unable to hold his Gandiva bow. For a warrior, inability to hold his dhanush on the battlefield is such an insulting and embarrassing and awkward situation. Arjuna was in that kind of situation, although he was such a great warrior. And Bhima is another great warrior. Somebody was saying, when I was in my college, one devotee was telling, Bhima had 10,000 elephants strength in one arm. What does it mean? He was very interestingly saying, you keep 10,000 elephants in one row and Bhima would punch the first elephant. The 10,000th elephant in the line will fall. You can just imagine what happens to the first elephant, second elephant, third elephant. Right? That's the strength of Bhima. So, Bhima is such a great warrior and Arjuna is another great warrior. And here one of the foremost warriors, Arjuna, is confused just before the battlefield. So that kind of confusing and bewildering situations will arise in everyone's life. So Arjuna was confused about his duty. When Arjuna said, dharma sammoodha chetaha, karpanya doshopahata swabhavaha, pruchhamitvam dharma sammoodha chetaha. I don't know what is my dharma. I am unable to perform my duty. So in that context, in such a bewilderment, in such a confused state of mind, I am seeking your shelter, Krishna, please show me some way. That's how Bhagavad Gita begins. Then Krishna starts speaking his teachings. So when the main warrior is confused just before the war is about to begin, then it's really an emergency situation. In that context, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. If Bhagavad Gita is relevant for a warrior who was confused on the battle, why can't it be relevant for an average human being who is constantly in his own battle? Right? We also have our own dharma, our own duties and our own battle. And we also get sometimes bewildered in performing our duties. So we definitely need guidance. And actually war is a context in which Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. But from this war context, Krishna takes the whole discussion to the context of real-time life. How many verses are there in Bhagavad Gita that are speaking directly about war? Not many. Yuddhasya vigata jvaraha. Like that, once in a while Krishna speaks about yuddha. Maybe 10-15 verses, not more than that. But entire Bhagavad Gita is speaking a lot of philosophical concepts, how to live life, Vaishnava qualities, how to maintain equanimity, how to be satisfied, how to attain happiness, how to pursue spiritual life, what is karma, what is jnana, what is ashtanga, what is dhyana, what is bhakti. These are the discussions. Are these the topics to be discussed on a battlefield? So Krishna is using the context of this battle and trying to give us the message of Bhagavad Gita, the most pristine philosophical treatise amongst all our Vaishnava scriptures. So Krishna is presenting that in this context so that we can attentively receive this message. Right? So if confusions and bewilderments and crises are common in our life, Bhagavad Gita is relevant in our life. If there is anyone who has no confusions, no bewilderments, no crisis at any point of life, he is not meeting any reversals or calamities at all, his bliss in Brahmananda, whatever, then fine. But an average human being undergoes this kind of situations as long as the human being is in the material world. So Bhagavad Gita shows the way out of all that. How? We'll see. We'll see throughout our presentation. So Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to live in this world and also how to transcend this material realm and enter the spiritual realm. Bhagavad Gita gives information about this material world. Bhagavad Gita also gives information about the spiritual world. Bhagavad Gita also shows us the path to reach from this material world to the spiritual world. So what else we need? And Bhagavad Gita also describes who are we and what is our original constitutional position and what are we doing here? And how do we get back to our original role of constantly performing bhakti without any motivations? So, and while living in this world, how should we conduct ourselves? So all that Bhagavad Gita teaches us. One day, I was doing this backup service in our Radha Vrindavan Bihari temple at Govardhani Kovilis. So we wash the pots of the deities, right? All the Achaman cups and bhoga plates and spoons that we wash. So we have a practice of keeping all our copper vessels, Achaman patras, in tamarind water. If you put them in tamarind water, they'll become clean on their own. And you just rinse it with water, and then maybe if you needed, you use soap and then rinse it with water. So now the pujari who went before me, he has put all these Achaman cups within the tamarind water. So they were being soaked for a while, but there is one cup that did not get immersed completely. It's half immersed. So half of the Achaman cup was inside the water, half is outside the water, like this cup. Okay. It's not a copper cup, by the way. So now I picked up all this, but this one cup is shining from the bottom. So half of the cup is shining and half the cup is very blackish because it was not immersed in water. So now if there is no absorption in whatever activity we are doing, if we are half-hearted, then we cannot get the full benefit. So this cup is not fully immersed in water. It is half immersed in water. So it is not fully cleansed. So we can take an important message from this one small example, that there are unlimited distractions in our life that constantly deviate us from our goals, our practices, unable to focus. They don't allow us to focus on our goal. So especially nowadays. So Krishna gives the formula to come out of these distractions. So I was trying to wash that cup. I was trying to scrub on the other side. But it was taking quite some effort. The only solution I found was, better just put this cup again in tamarind water and pick it up after half an hour or 1 hour. It will become clean. So full absorption in the activity that we are doing will only give us success. If we are doing it half-hearted, we are just one leg here, one leg there, we will not get the benefit. So Krishna gives very wonderful formulas for self-control. Self-control has two parts. One is sense control, second is mind control. Krishna says, one has to control one's senses. Senses means this ears and eyes and nose and tongue, etc. Ear is constantly running behind the sense object of sound. So the ear wants to hear some pleasant music. Eyes want to see some beautiful objects. Nose wants to smell very nice sweet fragrances. Right? The hand wants to touch soft objects, not harsh objects. So like that, the tongue wants to taste palatable dishes. So the senses are constantly running behind sense objects. Because of that, there is a lot of anxiety. Srimad Bhagavatam also describes this. Etadhi atura chittana matra sparshechaya muhu bhavasindhuplavo drashto haricharyanu varnanam. Etadhi atura chittana. A conditioned soul is constantly in anxiety. Why? Matra sparshechaya muhu. Matra sparsha ichchaya means he is trying to bring his senses in contact with sense objects. Muhu. Constantly. So because of that constant attempt for sense enjoyment, there is a lot of anxiety and the situation of the person is as if he is immersed in an ocean. Bhavasindhu, ocean of material existence. Bhavasindhu plavo drashto. What is that strong boat that helps us cross over this ocean of distress that is caused because of undue desires for sense gratification? Haricharyanu varnanam. It is the process of describing the activities of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So by doing Krishna Katha, one can come out of this. Now, that is, I spoke the solution also, but the point there is, because of constant desires for sense gratification, there is anxiety. So to avoid these anxieties, we should learn to control ourselves. Self-control is an important message of Bhagavad Gita. And self-control involves sense, controlling senses and controlling mind. Two things. So Krishna speaks about both of these things. He says, one has to control senses just like a tortoise. Tortoise, you see in this picture. So tortoise has its limbs outside and it walks. And whenever there is an obstacle, tortoise immediately withdraws all his limbs within the shell and it doesn't move. So it can protect all its bodily limbs under that hard shell. Similarly, whenever there is a distracting sense object, Krishna suggests you should withdraw yourself. Just if you find that sense object unfavorable for your spiritual progress, it's detrimental for even your physical health also. Somebody may see some fried items, pakoda. And doctor told him, you should not eat fried items. But the tongue is getting distracted. So one should just try to avoid it. Okay, it's not good for my health. You should withdraw the senses. But how is it possible? So Krishna understands. If I just give this tortoise example, you should control your senses like this. Withdraw your senses from sense objects. People cannot understand it. Okay, it's not very easy to do it. So Krishna further says, yes, I understand. It's difficult to withdraw the senses. But it is easy if we have a replacement for that sense enjoyment. Param drishtva nivartate. If you have a higher taste, you can give up lower tastes. So, if say pakoda there, which is fried item, which is not good for the health, is a like a lower taste. If there is a replacement, healthy replacement, some non-spicy food, which is also equally tasty or much more tastier, then you can easily give up your attraction to pakoda. Okay, there is something more relishable. So param drishtva nivartate. If we develop some attraction towards a spiritual engagement for the senses, one can slowly relinquish one's attractions for material sense enjoyment. So Krishna says that. So that is sense control. We'll discuss more. And he also speaks about mind control. So let's recite these slokas. Yada samharate chayam kurmongani vasarvashaham indriyani indriyarthebhyaham tasya prajna pratishthitam vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinah rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinah. Ahara means food. And food is the sense object for the tongue, but this ahara word can be used for all sense objects. So for a beautiful scenery is a sense object, is ahara for the eyes. Beautiful music, pleasant music is ahara for the ears. So niraharasya dehinah, to fast from that undue, unrestricted sense enjoyment, we should have param drishtva nivartati. Param drishtva, we should have a higher taste. We should cultivate the higher taste of seeking pleasure in spiritual engagement, which Bhagavad Gita constantly says. So how do we control our senses? By giving the senses a better engagement. How do we control our tongue from eating normal food which is not offered to Krishna? By eating prasadam. So like that, if the senses are given better replacements, the senses are constantly being distracted by, eyes are distracted by beautiful objects, usually the supreme beauty of Krishna here. So there is a better engagement. The eyes have a tendency to see beautiful objects. Give them better beauty. So that's what Krishna says. So that's how senses can be controlled, by giving better sense engagement. If sense engagement is not proper, there will be encasement. Encasement meant being captivated by the Maya, as if we are in prison house. Then mind control. Krishna says, Krishna suggests that you should control your mind from distracting sense objects. Although there is no interaction between senses and sense objects, but still there is meditation on the sense objects within the mind. So Krishna says we have to control the mind. But Arjuna says, no, it's very difficult to control the mind. So Arjuna says here, chanchalam hi manah Krishna pramathi ballavadrudham tasyaham nigraham manye vayor iva sudushkaram. When Arjuna said, it is very easy for me to control the wind, not the mind. W-I-N-D, I can easily control. M-I-N-D, it's very difficult to control. So, chanchalam himanaha Krishna. This mind is chanchala, very fickle, very strong, pramathi balavadrudham, very obstinate, very strong. Tasyaham nigraham manye, to control that mind, manye, I consider, vayoriva sudushkaram. It's difficult, more difficult than controlling wind. Then Krishna acknowledges Arjuna's concern. Yes, it's very difficult to control the mind, but he says you can practice, you can develop detachment, then you can control easily. Krishna says, asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. Asamshayam mahabaho, oh mighty armed Arjuna, asamshayam, there is no doubt, mano durnigraham chalam, it is very difficult to control the mind, I understand it, but abhyasena tu, if you practice, kaunteya Vairagyanacha, if you also practice detachment, by practice and detachment, we can easily control the mind over a period of time. It may not happen overnight. So Krishna gives formulas for mind control and sense control. So how can the senses be controlled? By giving a better spiritual engagement to the senses. How can the mind be controlled? By practicing constantly. We may fail in our practices, but eventually we will be able to do it. Right? Detachment, developing detachment, understanding that they are temporary. So without, one should not be discouraged when there is a failure in one's attempts. One should consistently continue to practice. That's what practice is. So initially when we are trying to learn cycle, when a small child, maybe some 5-10-year-old boy, he's trying to learn cycle. So he cannot reach on the seat. He's not tall enough. So when I was learning cycle, I was quite small. My father's cycle was Atlas. It's quite tall. Right? I was trying to ride it. So sometimes what we would do as small kids, we keep the cycle seat in our armpit. We put our leg from within the triangle and then try to pedal it by holding the handle with one hand. So slowly we try to pedal it and then make an attempt to sit on the seat. So when you sit on the seat, just it goes for 3-4 steps ahead and we fall down. So I was falling down like that. One of my uncles was saying, why are you unnecessarily spoiling your father's cycle? You know, I want to learn. Whether it let it get damaged. It was continuing. So one day, we could manage to sit on the seat and then pedal it. But your legs are not tall enough to pedal the cycle. You try to push one pedal, it goes down. By the time the other one will come up. So that you can place your leg on the other pedal. Then you push it down, another one will come out. Slowly you try to learn. So one day, you can learn. So initially in our attempts to learn cycle, we fell so many times, but now many people here at least, you can ride cycle without falling so many times, right? So practice. Despite failures, we should continue to practice. So when there is practice, then one day we will be able to perfect the whole process. So Krishna says, Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagyena cha Grihyate. So now, another important point in mind control is, when the mind just goes out, we should make an attempt to bring it back. When we don't make an immediate attempt to bring it back, mind just keeps on going. The farther it goes, the farther it takes us also along with it. We may allow it to go away, but the mind will not allow us to come back again. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam asthiram tato tato niyam yaitat Atman yeva vasham nayet. Yato yato nischalati. Wherever the mind is wandering, here and there. Manaha chinchalam asthiram. It is chinchala, fickle, asthiram, very unsteady. Definitely it will wander. But we should tato tato niyam yaitat. Try to regulate it. As soon as it goes out somewhere, try to bring it back. Just allow it to focus on what you are doing now. So like that, Krishna is giving so many shlokas in Bhagavad Gita, just to teach us self-control, teach us mind control, teach us sense control. So these are all small formulas which we may overlook. But they are supposed to be overlooked. We are supposed to be meditating on them more to understand the gist of the essence of what he is speaking. Right? So attentiveness is in our attempt to bring the mind back and put it back on what you are doing. So inattentiveness means not attempting to bring the mind back when it gets distracted. So Krishna is saying, yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam asthiram tato tato niyam yaitat. So try to regulate it. Atman yeva vasham nayet. Try to bring it under your control. So apart from this, about sense control, about mind control, Krishna teaches us so many things in Bhagavad Gita. He teaches us what is good. What are good qualities that we are supposed to cultivate? Tejah kshama dhriti saucha adroho natimanitaha bhavanti sampadam daivi abhijatasya bharata. So there is daivi sampada. Krishna speaks about divine qualities, good qualities. Forgiveness, tolerance, equanimity, determination, these are all good qualities that we are supposed to cultivate. What are the qualities that we are supposed to relinquish? They are demoniac qualities. Krishna describes them also. What is bad? Dambho darpo abhimanasya krodha parushyameva cha. ajnanam chabhijatasya partha sampadam asurim. This is asuri sampada. This is the quality of a demoniac person. Try to relinquish them. What are they? Dambha, darpa, abhimana, pride, envy, avarice, deceit, and duplicity, diplomacy. These are all demoniac qualities. You should relinquish them. Krishna teaches us what is good, what is bad, what is worth cultivating, what is worth relinquishing. Further, he says, he teaches us how to talk also. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya bhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. Anudvegakaram vakyam. We should speak in such a way that other person doesn't get agitated. We should not get disturbed with our words. Satyam, we should speak truth. But the truth has to be presented in a palatable way, in a acceptable way, digestible way. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam as a well-wisher. Chayat swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva. Swadhyaya means scriptural study. So this is the austerity of speech. This is how one needs to speak, Krishna says. Then how to eat? Ayuh sattva balarogya. You should eat diet which is freshly cooked. That will increase your health and energy levels and all. That's how you should eat. How to recreate? Yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Krishna says, our recreation, our eating habits, our sleeping habits, and our working habits, all of them should be regulated. So how to conduct ourselves, how to entertain ourselves, Krishna teaches. How to offer charity? Krishna speaks, there is charity also that can be given in three modes. Somebody says, I want money, I want to drink, today I don't have money. Okay, take this 100 rupees, drink. So what kind of charity is that? Krishna says charity has to be given to a appropriate person for an appropriate purpose at an appropriate time. That's how one has to give charity. So charity also speaks how to give in three modes. How to think about? What is our subject matter for thinking? Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejanah paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vaham yaham. Ananyas chintayanto mam. One should make an attempt to think about Krishna always. Yejanah paryupasate. Whoever worships Krishna by always thinking about him, he is a person who is qualified for Krishna's mercy. Next, what to offer him? So Krishna recommends worshipping him. And what to offer him while we are worshipping him? Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, yome, bhaktya prayachati. Mood should be devotional. Offering should be simple. Offering can be simple. One need not offer something very elaborate. If you can, you can. You can do. But if you don't have the bandwidth, at least offer some tulsi leaves. Offer little water. Offer small fruit. Krishna is not expecting big, big offerings. He's only expecting sincerity in an offering. So, what pleases God, Krishna describes in very lucid language. And how to focus on goal, we already discussed. We should have practice and detachment. And how to leave body, that also Krishna speaks. Death. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. Yaha prayati samadbhavam yati nasti atra samshayaha. So, when Krishna says something, there is no doubt about it. When Krishna uses the word asamshayam, that means you have to give more importance to it. Asamshayam means no doubt. So, if you leave your body by remembering me, you will come back to me, I assure you. So, when one dies while remembering God, while remembering Krishna, one can easily go back to Krishna. Krishna gives assurance. But who can remember Krishna at the time of death? A person who endeavored to remember Krishna throughout his life only will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. So Krishna speaks how to practice this Krishna consciousness throughout one's life. And Krishna speaks how such a person leaves body and reaches him at the end of one's life. So further Krishna speaks, what is this material world? What is the nature of this material world? Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So it is a abode of miseries, and whatever little happiness that we get also is temporary. Ashashvatam. What is the nature of spiritual world? Natat bhasayate suryo nashashanko napavakaha yad gatva nanivartante tad dhama paramam mama. in the spiritual world, there is no need of sun, moon, light, electricity for illumination. They are all self-illuminated planets. Right? So, natat bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavakaha. Once we go there by practicing bhakti yoga, one need not come back to this miserable material world. So, Krishna speaks that. So, how to go there? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Manmana means we should always think about Krishna. Madbhakto means becoming a devotee of Krishna. Madhyaji, worship Krishna. Mam namaskuru, offer dandavats to Krishna. So, now Krishna is so kind that he is pleased to give us mercy even when we offer dandavat. There is one beautiful shloka in Bhagavatam. It says, Dheyam sada paribhavagnam abhishta doham tirthaspadam shivavirinchinutam sharanyam bhrityartiham pranata pala bhavabdhipotam vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. One word I'll explain in that verse. Pranata pala. Pranata pala means one who protects the surrendered. Krishna is the protector of people who take shelter of him. Pranata pala. Pranata means if you surrender unto him, Krishna will protect you. Pranata can also mean if you just offer pranams to Krishna, then also he will protect you. Surrender is on a very high plane. Pranam is very simple thing to perform. Whether you approach Krishna in a simple way of offering dandavats or in a complete unflinching way of full dedication and surrender, this whole spectrum is there to receive Krishna's protection. Krishna is ready to protect us even when we are beginners and when we are perfected beings also. Once you come and express to Krishna that I'm there to worship you, I'm there to offer your obeisances, Krishna says, okay, fine, you are in my entourage, I'll take care of you. So Krishna is giving that much reassurance. He says, yoga kshemam vaham yaham. I will take care of you. Your yoga and your kshema, your prosperity and your protection, everything is my responsibility. So that's how Krishna teaches so many things in Bhagavad Gita. One thing, when we receive some difficulties in life, the average person responds to those difficulties with blame, oftentimes. I am experiencing this difficulty because of him, because of her, because of this situation, because of that policy. So like that, there is always a mentality to blame others. So Krishna helps us to contemplate and reflect on our sufferings. Why are we suffering? Why there is suffering in this world? Instead of just getting into the spiral of a blame game, actually blame leads to more blame. Sometimes blame is needed, we have to point out. But point there is, if you just end up wasting time in just blaming people and shifting blame, without trying to find out what is the solution, we end up nowhere. The blame leads to more and more blame. So Krishna says, at least you should have this internal reconciliation. Externally, you may have to address the situation by doing the needful when some mistake happens. And because of somebody's mistake, you are suffering. You may have to address it externally. But internally, we should also reconcile that no suffering will happen without a basis, without a reason, without a cause. Krishna had sanctioned it. Why Krishna had sanctioned it? Not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's sanction. Why Krishna has sanctioned this incident? Because of my own past deeds. I must have done some wrong thing to someone before. So today, Krishna is just giving me the reaction through this incident. Although in this incident, I may seem to be very innocent. That's what Mother Suniti taught Dhruva also. You know the Dhruva Maharaj story in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj was insulted and chastised by Suruchi. And Dhruva Maharaj was crying profusely as if he were a snake stepped on by someone. So he was crying, hissing like a snake, and went to Mother Suniti, and Suniti found out this boy must be having some hatred and envy and anger towards Suruchi. Suniti was also experiencing so much of pain because of husband's neglect, because of co-wife's insensitive dealings. She was also experiencing pain. Her situation was described like this: Davagnina Davalateva Bala. She was like a tender creeper which was being burnt in the big forest fire. Davagni's forest fire. Dava Lata. Lata is a tender creeper. That's how she was also painful. But she did not blame anyone. She did not hold anyone responsible. Right? She did not protest so much. She had all kinds of patience. Why? Because she is a devotee of Krishna. So she said three things to Dhruva. Dhruva, never develop any hatred towards someone who must have caused some harm to you. Second, whatever inconvenience or difficulty or calamity that you are receiving in your life is only a result of your own past deed. She was not even indicating that Suruchi has insulted you today, tomorrow she will suffer. That's not her indication. Her indication is, today you are insulted by Suruchi, yesterday you must have insulted someone. Previous life you must have insulted someone. So understand this difficulty to be a result of our own past activities. Third thing she says is, whatever desire you may have, take shelter of Krishna. So, tameva vatsashraya bhritya vatsalam mumukshubhir mrugya padabja paddhatim ananya bhave nijadharma bhavite manasyavasthapya bhajasva purusham. So, your great-grandfather Brahmaji and your grandfather Swayambhu Manu, they have attained success in their lives by taking shelter of Krishna. Whatever desire you may have desire to sit on your father's throne. It may be this desire or some other desire. You should take shelter of Krishna. So like that, she did not blame anyone. She found out a positive way of coming out of this distressful situation by taking shelter of Krishna. So when someone follows the teachings of Krishna in the form of Bhagavad Gita and performs Bhakti Yoga, one's consciousness will be equipped with the necessary maturity to deal with all calamities of life. Krishna does not only speak in Bhagavad Gita how to attain success, how to attain success. He will also speak in Bhagavad Gita how to face calamities, how to face failures. Because failures are also common in this world. In fact, failures are more common than successes. Right? In fact, happiness is much rarer than difficulty in this world. So Krishna says, Dukkheshu anudvigna manaha Sukheshu vigataspruhaha Vitaraga bhayakrodha Sthitadhir muniruchyate Dukkheshu anudvigna manaha. When there is dukkha, don't get so perturbed. Don't get so disturbed. Don't get so dejected, deviated, depressed. No need. And sukheshu vigatasprahaha. When there is some cause of happiness in this life, don't become so elated, so overexcited. Don't become so overconfident or proud. So one has to tolerate happiness also and distress also. Okay. So vita raga bhaya krodha sthitadhir muniruchyate. Krishna describes the qualities of a self-controlled, intelligent person who is unaffected by the inevitable dualities in this material realm. So, Krishna says, Krishna teaches the art of tolerance. Tolerance and equanimity are some of the prominent lessons throughout Bhagavad Gita. Krishna stresses on equanimity a lot throughout Gita. And many other things, of course. Krishna says, Matra sparshyastu kaunteya Sitoshna sukha dukkhadaha Agamapayino nityaha Tamstitikshasva bharata Matra sparshastu kaunteya. O Kaunteya, O Arjuna, this Sita and Ushna means heat and cold, Sukha and Dukkha means happiness and distress, we encounter in our lives only because of matra sparsha, because of sense perception. Because of trying to bring our senses in contact with sense objects, there are experiences of dualities in the form of heat and cold and happiness and distress. Okay. So, agama apayino anityaha. They come, they go, they are so insubstantial, they are so temporary, anitya. So what are we supposed to do when happiness and distress comes? Tam stitikshasva bharata. So one should just tolerate. So tolerance and equanimity are some of the prominent lessons in Gita.
Other prominent lessons are also there, of course. Ultimately, the message of Gita is to perform bhakti. Bhakti yoga is the ultimate message. So, one has to tolerate. Now, this Sita and Ushna, we make an attempt to tolerate. When there is lot of heat outside, you put on AC. Now this is AC hall. Or you put on fans. And if there is lot of cold outside, you wear sweaters and shawls and put mufflers and socks and this and that. So we make arrangements to deal with heat and cold. How many arrangements are we making to deal with happiness and distress? This dealing with heat and cold is on a physical plane, external plane. Dealing with happiness and distress is there internally. It's on a mental plane, subtle plane. So one has to cultivate the ability to tolerate happiness and distress also. Then only one is eligible for liberation. Krishna says right in the next verse, Yam hi navyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram saumrutatvaya kalpate Yam hi navyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram. When there is dukkha, one should not be so dejected. When there is sukha, one should not be overexcited or elated. Sama dukkha sukham dhiram. If you are able to maintain equal vision in both cases, then we are dhira. We are sober people. So, such a person is eligible for amrutatva. Amrutatva is liberation. Mrita means death. Amrita means no death. Immortality. The eligibility for immortality, the eligibility to transcend this material miseries and enter spiritual consciousness is to maintain an equanimity in the midst of dualities in life. Krishna says, Samatvam yoga uchyate. The essence of yoga or connection with the Supreme Lord is samatvam, equanimity. When we are too much troubled by happiness or distress in this life, we are still on the material plane. How do we transcend this material plane and come to a level of spiritual consciousness? That happens by maintaining an equal vision, cultivating an equal vision to these happenings of life. A small child may get excited with a car, for example, toy car. So now green color car gives the child lot of happiness. If you give him a blue color car, he's not very happy. He doesn't like blue. He likes green, for example. Now, blue color and green color, one is causing happiness to the child, one is causing distress to the child. An elder, he is completely oblivious to these two. Whether it is green or blue, it doesn't make any sense to the elder. It's not a car, it's a toy car. Right? I'm thinking about a bigger car, which is 20 lakhs. Right? There, I will think about color there. But here a child is obsessed with which color car I should take. So now the child is asking, I want this car, I want green car only, and he is searching for 10 shops, he is not getting that 11th shop, you go, okay, green car is found. Then okay, you take it. The father will just pay, how much is this? 100 rupees. Take 100 rupees and give this fellow whatever he wants. Father is oblivious, he is so detached, because he had a higher understanding of life. This car is just to play. He may play for 2 days and then this will be broken. So because he has a higher understanding of life, and he is laughing at the stupidity of the child, who is just obsessed with the color of a toy car. Similarly, self-realized souls may also laugh at the innocence or ignorance of materialistic people who are pursuing material happiness and getting overwhelmed with material distress. Whether it is happiness or distress, ultimately both are temporary in this material plane. Highest happiness is in the spiritual plane. So, when is able to cultivate equanimity towards happiness and distress, material happiness and material distress, he is eligible for liberation. Because this sama, dukkha and sukha are on a material plane. What we have, what a pure spirit soul has to do anything with these two. But we have to deal with this. We have to deal with maturity. That maturity comes by following the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Now, okay, we'll skip a few things. Krishna speaks about determination. Now you see this. This is a small candle. It's an Amavasya day and no lights, no electricity is gone, power cut is there, you don't understand so much in Mumbai. We understand a lot in GV, village, lot of power cut. So in a dark room, night, no external light, if you want to lit the room, you may put a candle. So you put candle in a corner of the room and you may want to read your book. Now you put that candle in one corner of the room and you sit on the other corner of the room. Will you be able to read the book? Why? Because the intensity of this candle is not sufficient enough to illuminate the entire room. It can only give little light so that you can do your things and you can wait for the electricity to come back. But if it is like a huge light, stadium light, people may play cricket also. Because that huge lights, big lights, can lit the entire stadium. So it may create as good as daylight also and you can play. Wherever is what, you can easily understand. So what is the difference between these two? This is a very small lamp that can produce only little illumination. And here is a big light that can illuminate the entire stadium area. So, similarly, if our determination is very small like this candle flame, we cannot progress, we cannot make sufficient progress in devotional service. But if our intensity of practice, if our determination in practice of devotional service is so thick and so intense, then we can come closer to Krishna at a faster pace also. So, our advancement and satisfaction in bhakti, in pursuing a spiritual path, are dependent on our intent and our intensity of practice. Our intention should be pure and intensity also should be high. If our practice is very feeble, so then we cannot progress in a proper manner. So Krishna speaks about determination. He says we should focus on our goals. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Ekeha kuru nandana bahushakahyanantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandanaha. People who have resolute, determined intelligence, their intelligence is one-pointed. They will focus on the goal, they will complete the task and then they will move. Otherwise, people who are distracted constantly, they will think about 100 things. They will not do even one thing properly. So Krishna teaches us determination, focused one-point intelligence. So our intensity has to be high. Our commitment to the process of spiritual understanding should be high. Then only we can progress substantially. If the intensity is not much, then it's difficult. Even Bhagavatam also teaches this beautiful concept. Right in the first canto. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktira dhokshaji ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So, Bhagavatam says, the highest duty of the entire humanity is to perform bhakti unto Krishna. How that bhakti has to be performed? Ahaituki, second apratihata. Ahaituki means without any motivations, ulterior motives, unnecessary intentions, selfish desires, material ambitions. Without that, one should practice selflessly. Second, apratihata means without any interruptions, no inconsistencies or no irregularities. So today I have done chanting, tomorrow I will take a break. Not that kind of inconsistency should not be there. So when there are no inconsistencies in our attempts, when there are no impurities in our intentions, progress or advancement or satisfaction in devotional service is guaranteed. Yayatma suprasidati. Suprasidati means full satisfaction. So, advancement and satisfaction in bhakti are dependent on the purity of our intent and consistency of our attempt. That is ahaituki and apratihata. Krishna teaches us, vyavasayatmika buddhi, one has to be one-pointed in one's goal of pleasing Guru and Krishna. So one should be committed in one's devotional service. Now these are two examples of pictures. Now you put jaladhara. So you try to pour water in a glass. The dhara, the flow is not very, it reaches the glass of course, but it's just, puts sprinkles all over the place.
It's not like a thick column like oil, oil flow. When you are putting taila dhara or honey, the honey flow is very consistent. There are no distractions. It's like a thick golden pillar there. So one has to perform devotional service with that, with consistency. Right? So Krishna further gives so many teachings in Gita. One is, he gives the peace formula. How to attain peace in this world. We have seen so many teachings of Krishna about self-control, mind control, sense control, determination, tolerance, equanimity, how to eat, how to speak, all that we have seen in the last 1 hour. So one more is the peace formula. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrudam sarva bhutanam gnatva mam shanti mruchati. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. Krishna is the bhokta, or the supreme enjoyer of all our endeavors, all our sacrifices. Whatever efforts that we put, the enjoyer, ultimate beneficiary of all those activities is Krishna. He is the supreme enjoyer. Second, sarvaloka maheshwaram. Krishna is the supreme Ishvara, or controller of all planetary systems, of all universes. He is the controller of all controllers. Ishvaraha paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda vigraha. So sarvaloka maheshwaram. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Krishna is the supreme controller or supreme proprietor. Sarvaloka maheshwaram means he is the ruler. He is the proprietor of everything. Third, suhurdam sarvabhutanam. He is the supreme well-wisher, friend of all living entities. Someone who is the ultimate beneficiary, boss, and who is the ultimate owner, proprietor or controller, generally they are not accessible to the ground level people. Right? They don't have so much time. But here is suhurdam sarvabhutanam. Krishna has time for everyone. Krishna stays within the hearts of every single living entity as Paramatma, just to monitor their activities, to note down their desires, and to send SMS to people who are agents to fulfill those desires. So the living entity desires, the Supreme Lord sanctions, and the Prakriti facilitates for the fulfillment of all those desires. So Krishna, he is staying in the heart of everybody. Krishna says a couple of times in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvaraha sarva bhutanam hridyeshe arjuna tishthati. So I am staying right within the heart of every single living entity. When we, for example, if a person acts against our will sometimes, he doesn't do things according to our desires, tendency is to maintain some distance from that person. Or we may want to break relationship with that person to the degree he has displeased us. Can you imagine how many millions of times the conditioned souls have displeased Krishna and acted against the will of Krishna? Millions of times. But Krishna does not want to break relationship with anyone. Krishna wants to maintain relationship with everyone, every single living entity, by staying right within the heart. He wants to reclaim. The purpose of all his incarnations is to reclaim all of us. Oh, there are so many other purposes, but one of the important purposes from the perspective of conditioned soul is Krishna wants to reclaim all of us. Krishna wants all of us to go back to Godhead. Right? When we are not agreeing, he comes as incarnation. He sends all the scriptures. He makes the Bhagavad Gita available. He sends all his acharyas so that we can go back to him. So Krishna wants all of us. Krishna expresses his heart in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you are my devotee, my part and parcel. When Krishna is describing this material world, he says that bhumi rapo analo vayu kham mano buddhi revacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakriti rashtada. It is my separated energy. When he is describing matter, Krishna says it is my separated energy. But when Krishna is describing all of us here, jivas, he says, mameva amsho jiva loke. These are my amshas. These are my parts and parcels. Okay? Mameva amsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. So this is superior energy, that is inferior energy. These are my guys. These are my people. So Krishna is, Krishna maintains a sense of ownership towards all of us. He loves everyone. Suhurdam sarva bhutanam. Gnatva mam shanti mrichati. By knowing that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, supreme proprietor, and supreme well-wisher of everyone, we will attain ultimate peace. There is no fear, there is no anxiety, there is no agitation, there is no cause of disturbance for a person who understands that Krishna is my well-wisher. My God is there to protect me always. If I only think about Him, He will give me all protection. Ananya sintayantomam yejanaha paryupasate. Krishna doesn't give a false promise, right? So Krishna doesn't give a false promise, and a dedicated, committed devotee has faith in Krishna's promise, and he is always peaceful because he has understanding of these three facts, the peace formula. And Krishna gives the happiness formula. How to be happy in this world, while living in this world? Krishna says, Machitta madgata prana bodhayantaha parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. Machitta madgata pranaha bodhayantaha parasparam. So Krishna says that my devotees enlighten each other. They teach each other what? About Krishna. They are conscious about Krishna. They have completely dedicated their lives to Krishna. Machitta means being conscious of Krishna. Madgata prana means dedicating one's lives towards Krishna. Bodhayantaha parasparam. And they teach each other about Krishna. They discuss Krishna's pastimes. You know, these are the names of Krishna. These are the pastimes of Krishna. These are the qualities of Krishna. In the 10th canto, Krishna has done all these pastimes. So like that, they inform each other and enlighten each other about Krishna. Kathayantascha mam nityam. When do they do? Not once in a while. Nityam. Every day. Regularly. Whenever they have time. While taking prasad, while walking, while sitting, while conversing. So the topic of discussion of dedicated devotees is Krishna's topics. Tushyanticha, ramanticha, with great satisfaction, with great happiness, they discuss. So happiness is there in discussing about our beloved. When a person loves another person, there is a lot of pleasure in speaking about that person. Right? So devotees are all fans of Krishna. So fans describe about the hero, right? So here is the Krishna, the universal celebrity, the supreme hero. In all the material and spiritual planets, He is the supreme creator of everything. So devotees who are in love with Krishna, they constantly discuss about Krishna and they derive great happiness. Speaking something about our beloved gives a lot of happiness and nourishment to our hearts. So devotees are like this. So this is how devotees spend their time. And Krishna speaks about good character in Bhagavad Gita. He spoke about peace formula. He spoke about happiness formula. He's speaking about character. Amanitvam adambhitvam ahimsakshantirarjavam acharyopasanam shaucham sthairyam atmavinigraha amanitvam adambhitvam means there is no pride in the heart of a devotee. Right, a noble person, person of noble character, he does not have undue pride, material pride, false pride. Adambhitvam, amanitvam means humility. He does not hanker for respect from others. Adambhitvam means no pride, pridelessness. Ahimsa, non-violent. Now, some people say that Arjuna was non-violent. He did not want to kill anyone. He did not want to participate in war. And here is Krishna who is teaching him violence. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and then inspired Arjuna to fight and kill so many people. So some people say Bhagavad Gita is suggesting violence or what? Here Krishna is teaching about ahimsa. Ahimsa kshantir arjavam. So ahimsa is non-violence, then tolerance, arjavam simplicity, acharya upasanam shaucham. You should take shelter of a guru, acharya, shaucham. You should be very clean. Sthairyam, atmavinigraha, one should be very self-controlled and we should have proper confidence. So these are various aspects of Vaishnava character and Krishna speaks so many verses. I just gave one shloka here. There are so many shlokas in multiple chapters of Gita. describing the importance of humility, forgiveness, satisfaction, non-envy, equanimity, respect, simplicity, tolerance. So these are the prominent teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Actually, we receive the seed of bhakti from the bona fide Vaishnava Guru. With the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we receive the seed of bhakti. And that seed, that potent seed, will sprout and become a plant to the degree we water it. Right? So you may have a potent seed, but if you don't water the seed properly, the seed will not grow, will not become a plant. So that watering process is called Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. All the various limbs of devotional service that we perform, that is the watering process. But just watering process and a potent seed are not sufficient for the plant to grow. Seed may be potent. You are received bhakti seed from Vaishnava Guru. And watering process is also good. You are reading bona fide Vaishnava scriptures. But one should also have fertile soil for the plant to grow. And that fertility of soil is compared to Vaishnava character. The good qualities of humility, forgiveness, satisfaction that Krishna teaches throughout Bhagavad Gita. Amanitvam, Adambhitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantir, Arjavam, all this, Acharya, Upasanam, Saucham. So Krishna speaks how to make the soil fertile so that the seed of bhakti can grow in our heart and sprout into a plant and then eventually reach the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So Krishna teaches both the process of bhakti and the favorable attitudes or qualities that are very helpful for our progress in bhakti. So the context is war, but the content is how to live an organic spiritual life, how to live a balanced life in this world, and also how to progress in spiritual life and reach the lotus feet of Krishna and enter the spiritual realm ultimately. So the prominent themes of Bhagavad Gita are fivefold. So Bhagavad Gita speaks about these five universally relevant topics. So Gita need not be a scripture meant for a particular religious faith or sect. It is having contents which are universally relevant. So the topics are Jiva, who am I? This is a relevant question for every human being, not necessarily one particular sect. Second is Ishvara, who is God. Third is Prakriti, what is this world? Fourth is Kala, what is time factor? Under whose influence everything is here being created and maintained and destroyed. Fifth is Karma, activity, how to act and what is reaction? So what is reaction or consequence of our activity? So these are the five universally relevant topics of Bhagavad Gita. And as far as sections of Bhagavad Gita are concerned, Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters divided into 3 sections. The first 6 chapters predominantly give the message of Karma Yoga. And the last 6 sections are giving this message of Jnana Yoga. And the middle six chapters are describing Bhakti Yoga. Now, Bhagavad Gita is compared to a beautiful jewel box. This Gita is the jewel box. And the lid is the last 6 chapters, Jnana Yoga. And the bottom is Karma Yoga, which is the first 6 chapters. And the precious jewel within this jewel box is Bhakti Yoga, which is the middle 6 chapters. Bhakti Yoga is the most secret confidential treasure that Bhagavad Gita is presenting to us. And even within the middle 6 chapters, from 7 to 12, the middlemost 2 chapters, 9 and 10, they reveal much more confidential features of Krishna's heart. How Krishna is so kind and affectionate to his devotees, how he is so accommodative to his devotees. So that Krishna reveals very vividly in the 9th and 10th chapters how he is forgiving to his devotees. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. Even if my devotees commit some mistakes also, I accommodate them. So we'll discuss a little more after some time. So like that, 9th and 10th chapters are the essence of all essence within Bhagavad Gita. Within that 9th chapter only we have this manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. Then patram pushpam phalam toyam, all these slokas come there. So Krishna is a very accommodative God. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, మయ్యేవమన ఆధత్స్వ మయి బుద్ధిం నివేశయ నైవ శిష్యతి మయ్యేవ అత ఊర్ధ్వం న సంశయః. కృష్ణ సేస్ మయ్యేవ మన ఆధత్స్వ, జస్ట్ ఎంగేజ్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఇన్ మీ, ఆల్వేస్ థింక్ ఆఫ్ మీ. సో దట్ ఈస్ ద టాప్ మోస్ట్ స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్. వన్ హూ కంప్లీట్లీ ఎంగేజెస్ వన్స్ మైండ్ ఇన్ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ద టాప్ మోస్ట్ డివోటీ. దెర్ ఇస్ నో వన్ సుపీరియర్ టు హిమ్. యోగినామపి సర్వేషాం మద్గతేన అంతరాత్మన. కృష్ణ సేస్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ యోగీస్ ద బెస్ట్ యోగి ఈజ్ వన్ హూ ఈజ్ ఆల్వేస్ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ మీ. యోగ మీన్స్ లింకింగ్ విత్ ద సుప్రీం. ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ లింక్ విత్ ద సుప్రీం బై ఆల్వేస్ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ విత్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్, దట్ ఈస్ ద బెస్ట్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ యోగా. అండ్ యూఆర్ ద బెస్ట్ యోగి, అండ్ యూఆర్ ద బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ సచ్ యోగీస్ ద గోపీస్ ఆఫ్ వృందావన్. ఓకే, సో ద గోపీస్ ఆర్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ. దర్ ఇస్ అ బ్యూటిఫుల్ శ్లోక ఇన్ ద 10th క్యాంటో.
యాదోహనే వహననే మథనోపలేప ప్రేంకాంఖనార్భరుదితో క్షణమార్జనాదౌ గాయంతి చైన మనురక్త ధియో శ్రుకంఠ్యో ధన్యావ్రజ స్త్రియ ఉరుక్రమ చిత్తయానః. యా దోహనే మీన్స్ వెన్ ద గోపీస్ ఆఫ్ వృందావన్ ఆర్ మిల్కింగ్ ద కౌస్. వహననే వైల్ దే ఆర్ థ్రెషింగ్ ద గ్రెయిన్స్. మథన వైల్ దే ఆర్ చర్నింగ్ మిల్క్. ఉపలేప వైల్ దే ఆర్ పుట్టింగ్ దిస్ మిక్స్చర్ ఆఫ్ కౌడంగ్ అండ్ సమ్ క్లే ఆన్ దేర్ వాల్స్ అండ్ పుట్టింగ్ సమ్ రంగోలీ ఆన్ ఇట్. యా దోహనే వహననే మథనోపలేప ప్రేంకాంఖన వైల్ స్వింగింగ్ ఆన్ స్వింగ్స్. అర్భరుదిత వెన్ దే ఆర్ టేకింగ్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ ద క్రైయింగ్ బేబీస్. ఊక్షణ వెన్ దే ఆర్ స్ప్రింక్లింగ్ వాటర్ మిక్స్డ్ విత్ కౌడంగ్ ఇన్ దేర్ కోర్ట్ యార్డ్స్. మార్జనాదో వెన్ దే ఆర్ క్లీనింగ్ ద ఫ్లోర్స్ ఆఫ్ వృందావన్. దీస్ ఆర్ సింపుల్ హౌస్ హోల్డ్ యాక్టివిటీస్ డన్ బై ద గోపీస్ ఆఫ్ వృందావన్. సో వైల్ డూయింగ్ ఆల్ దీస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ వాట్ ఆర్ ద గోపీస్ డూయింగ్? గాయంతి చైన మనురక్త ధియోశ్రు కంఠ్యో. దే ఆర్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ సింగింగ్ ద గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. దే ఆర్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ. గాయంతి చైనం అనురక్త ధియ విత్ దేర్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ విత్ దేర్ మైండ్ స్టీప్డ్ ఇన్ లవ్ ఫర్ కృష్ణ. ధన్యా వ్రజస్త్రియ ఉరుక్రమ చిత్తయానః. గోపీస్ ఆర్ ది మోస్ట్ ఫార్చునేట్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ ద ఎంటైర్ కాస్మిక్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్. హూ కెన్ బి మోర్ ఫార్చునేట్ దాన్ దెమ్? సో మయ్యేవ మన ఆధస్వ వెన్ కృష్ణ సెడ్ దిస్, డెడికేటింగ్ వన్స్ మైండ్ కంప్లీట్లీ ఆన్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ ద హయ్యెస్ట్ స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి. బట్ ఎ కండిషన్డ్ సోల్, ఎన్ యావరేజ్ కండిషన్డ్ సోల్ కెనాట్ రీచ్ దిస్ స్టేజ్ ఓవర్ నైట్. సో కృష్ణ సేస్ ఓకే ఫైన్, ఇఫ్ యూ క్యాంట్ ఎంగేజ్ యువర్ మైండ్ కంప్లీట్లీ ఇన్ మీ, కమ్ టు ది నెక్స్ట్ లెవెల్. మై బుద్ధిం నివేశయ, అట్లీస్ట్ ఎంగేజ్ యువర్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ. అట్లీస్ట్ ఇఫ్ యూ కెనాట్ ఆల్వేస్ థింక్ ఆఫ్ మీ విత్ లవ్ అండ్ ఎమోషన్, అట్లీస్ట్ ప్లాన్ ఫర్ మై సర్వీస్. ఎంగేజ్ యువర్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఇన్ డూయింగ్ సమ్ ప్రాక్టికల్ సర్వీస్. ఓకే, యూ కాన్ డూ దాట్ ఆల్సో. థర్డ్ స్టేజ్ హీ సేస్, అట్లీస్ట్ ఎంగేజ్ యువర్ సెన్సెస్ ఇన్ మై సర్వీస్. ఇఫ్ యూ కాన్ డూ దాట్, దేర్ ఆర్ పీపుల్ హు ఆర్ సర్వింగ్ మీ, గో అండ్ అసిస్ట్ దెమ్, అట్లీస్ట్ కాంట్రిబ్యూట్ సంథింగ్ దేర్. సో లైక్ దట్ ఇన్ ద 12th చాప్టర్ భగవద్గీత కృష్ణ గివ్స్ లెవెల్స్. ఇఫ్ యూ కాన్ డూ దిస్ డూ దిస్, ఇఫ్ యూ కాన్ డూ దట్ డూ దిస్, ఇఫ్ యూ కాన్ డూ దిస్ డూ దిస్. So like that Krishna is very kind enough to connect every conditioned soul to his lotus feet from wherever this person is. He has described the highest stage of bhakti and he is also trying to connect the person in purest consciousness also to bhakti in some way or the other. So that's why bhakti yoga is the most relevant thing. But why Krishna has to describe jnana yoga and karma yoga also? They are also needed. Not everybody is ready. And okay, yoga means linking with Krishna. Linking one's consciousness with God is called yoga. So if you can link with the Supreme through our prescribed activities, it is called karma yoga. If we can link with God through our knowledge, it is jnana yoga. If we can link with Krishna through devotional services, it is called bhakti yoga. So Krishna presents progressive levels of devotional service. Arjuna may say, I will just renounce everything, I will take sannyas, I will not fight, I will not do my prescribed duty of fighting. Krishna says premature renunciation is not proper, better you do your prescribed activity. So in the first 6 chapters Krishna emphasizes a lot on doing one's prescribed duties according to the Vedic scriptures, which is a progressive way of cultivating spiritual realization. But one thing is there, bhakti, anyone can start from anywhere. That also Krishna reveals. Right? But if someone is too attached to prescribed duties, okay, do your prescribed duties and dedicate them to me so that you can come to me slowly. That's why Krishna, although he said about the simplicity of worshipping him in the 9th chapter, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyupahritam asnami prayatatmanah patram pushpam phalam toyam. Patram is leaf, pushpam is flower, phalam is fruit, toyam is water. If you can just give these four things, which even the poorest person also can manage to acquire. Yome bhaktya prayachati, with love and devotion if we offer this to Krishna, tadaham bhakti upahritam, I will accept that loving offering. Krishna uses the word bhakti again here. Bhaktya prayachati, bhakti upahritam. I will accept that loving offering given to me. Ashnami, I will accept prayatatmanah. So Krishna described the simplicity of worship. What you offer could be so simple, but it doesn't matter. I look for your emotion. More than the expense of your offering, I look for the emotion behind that offering. But if you don't have that much emotion, if you cannot just offer to me whatever I want, according to my liking, at least do this. Krishna says in the next sloka, yatkaroshi yadasnasi yajjuhoshi dadasiyat yattapasyasi kaunteya tatkurushvamadarpanam. Yat karoshi, whatever you do, yat ashnasi, whatever you eat, yat juhoshi, yat dadasi, yat, whatever you give away, wherever you go, yat tapasyasi, whatever austerities you go, you do. Tat kurushva madarpanam. Do whatever you are doing, but do everything for me. You just offer everything to me. So one is, you ask me what I want. Okay, what food item you will eat? I like gulab jamun. Okay, I'll make gulab jamun. That's one way. Second is, I have made this halwa, you take it. Getting right? So you ask the person what he wants and then make it and give him. So that is first stage. If you can't manage that stage, at least whatever you have, give him. So Krishna presents both stages also. Okay, you don't have gulab jamun, I don't mind, no problem. You have halwa? Okay, give me halwa. So like that, Krishna is very accommodative. Wherever you are, he can show you mercy, he can reciprocate with that. And eventually, it's his responsibility to bring us to the higher levels. So he is very forgiving God. Apichet sudurācāro bhajate mām ananya bhāk sādhureva samantavyah samyag vyavasito hi saha. Even if my devotee is accidentally, incidentally, circumstantially do some mistakes, I consider them great and they will immediately be stationed in their proper consciousness because they are ultimately dedicated to me. Bhajate mam ananya bhag, they are serving me. Accidentally, even if they do some mistakes, still I consider them sadhu. Sadhureva samantavyaha, I consider my devotees as sadhus, even if they do some mistakes. That does not mean Krishna is giving license to do mistakes in a premeditated way, in a purposeful way. So that is not the point here. Accidentally, if you do some mistakes also, Krishna will forgive. But in karmakandic rituals, it's like if you pronounce mantra even little bit here and there, then the result will be opposite. That poor Tvashta, he pronounced mantra not in a proper intonation. Indra Shatroho. You know, right? Tvashta, right? Tvashta wanted to take revenge on Indra. Because Indra has killed his son Vishwarupa. Tvashta performed a sacrifice to get a son who can kill Indra. So he was chanting mantras. He chanted mantras in a wrong manner. Instead of getting a son who can kill Indra, he got a son who will be killed by Indra. Because of like some mispronunciation.
So this one example of pronunciation in certain karmakandic rituals, the processes and the mantra chanting and certain trivial rules and regulations are given a lot of importance, that if there is any compromise there, you will not get the intended result. But here is bhakti. Even if somebody is not up to the mark, also Krishna's mercy is there. That does not mean one is purposefully spaced out. But point is, even if there are accidentally some mistakes, Krishna is very accommodative.
Okay.
He is very forgiving. So, now, in the last 10 minutes, although we have discussed a lot in Bhagavad Gita, we have discussed so many slokas, the messages, the prominent themes in Bhagavad Gita, but one important thing that we must discuss is the mood of studying Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is a very philosophical book. It's not having only pastimes like in Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's predominantly philosophical. No stories are there. So sometimes by studying Bhagavad Gita, someone may think oneself to be a great scholar. I'm great. I know so many slokas. I know this message, that message. I can analyze so much. I have received a lot of knowledge. So there is one small pastime in the 9th chapter of the Madhya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was doing his South India tour. He went to Sri Rangam. In Sri Rangam, he saw one simple Brahmana. So this simple Brahmana was sitting near that Sri Rangam temple, and he was studying Bhagavad Gita. So while studying Bhagavad Gita, he was crying profuse tears, and he was known to be an illiterate Brahmana. He was not well educated. He cannot read properly. He doesn't understand the grammar, or he doesn't understand the technical details, what is there, and he is unable to understand. He is not a very intellectual person. He is not a very educated person. But still he is studying and he is crying. So many people were watching him. You don't know how to study, still you are studying and you are crying. What is this? And they were laughing at him. They were making fun of him. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized this simple Brahmana who was endeavoring to study Bhagavad Gita with the tears in his eyes. He went and asked this Brahmana, "My dear Brahmana, what aspect of Bhagavad Gita is giving you so much of bliss and ecstasy that you are crying tears of love? What is so impressive in this book?" Then he said, "Actually, I am unable to study this book. I am unable to read properly because I am an illiterate. But still, when I think that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has become the chariot driver of Arjuna, his own devotee, he is driving the chariot. When I think of this scene, tears just automatically flow from my eyes. Such a kind God." So he went on explaining the wonderful quality and character of Krishna. "And I am studying Bhagavad Gita because my guru has instructed me to study Gita. Although I am unable to study, I am obedient to the instructions of my guru. That's why I am studying Gita." You know what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said? He is unable to study properly. He is crying tears. But he has submissiveness and obedience towards Guru. He said, "Oh Brahmana, whatever you understand from Bhagavad Gita constitutes the essential message of Gita. Your understanding is the best understanding of Gita. Mundane scholars may think that you don't know anything about Gita, you are an illiterate, but you are having the best understanding of Gita." Mahaprabhu certified. Who is Mahaprabhu? Lord Krishna directly. The speaker of Bhagavad Gita is saying that this Brahmana has understood Gita properly. Okay. Why? He has obedience to Guru. And he has love for Krishna. Ultimately, the end result of Bhagavad Gita study or scriptural study is not scholarship. Scholarship is not the end product of scriptural study. At the max, it is a byproduct. The ultimate result is developing love for Krishna and cultivating a sense of subordination and submissiveness to one's spiritual authorities. So when there is humility, there is Vaishnava character and obedience to spiritual authorities and love for God, That is the real absorption or assimilation of Gita. So one who dedicates oneself to the spiritual process under the instructions of a spiritual master is actually implementing the teachings of Bhagavad Gita according to the opinion of Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya. He has simple faith and submission to Guru. He has love for Krishna. Krishna has given him that realization. Krishna has given him that attraction towards his own qualities to this simple-hearted Brahmana. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, generally, I am very shy and I don't reveal myself as Krishna to everyone. But I reveal myself to you. You know, who am I? I am Krishna. So he showed, by the way, I am Krishna. So, South Indian Brahman got this realization that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna because of his sincere subordination, submissiveness to his Guru and his development of love for Krishna. So, ultimately Bhagavad Gita is just describing the heart of Krishna, heart of God. Initially, Arjuna had so many reservations and doubts to fight the war of Kurukshetra. But in the association of Krishna, by hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, all the confusions in Arjuna's mind were gone. There is clear thought process that he has acquired. And ultimately what Krishna said, you become my devotee. I have already become your charioteer. I will become the chariot driver of your life. Just depend on me and do your duty. Right? Mam anusmara yudhyacha. Do your duty and depend on me. Mashuchaha, don't worry. Sarva dharmayan parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha ishyami. Mashuchaha. You just do your duty depending on me as an offering to me. I will take care of you. So you don't have to worry about yourself. Your maintenance, your protection, your prosperity, your life is my responsibility. Krishna gives that reassurance in Bhagavad Gita multiple times. So basically what transformed Arjuna is the love of Krishna. So Arjuna was confused. Initially he said, dharma sammudha chetaha karpanya doshopa hataswabhavaha prichhamitvam dharma sammudha chetaha. I am bewildered about my duty. I don't know what is my duty. I am totally confused about my duty. Then finally, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Arjuna said, nashto mohaha smritir labdha tat prasadat mayachyuta. So I am completely clear about my duty now. I will act according to your will and I have all my misconceptions and confusions are gone. I have full clarity in my mind. Karishye vachanam tava. I will act according to your will. So it's not that Krishna is demanding and forcing and pressurizing Arjuna to do. You do whatever I say. That's not the message. I have spoken this message. I think this is good for you, but you decide. Right? Yathechasi tatha kuru. When Krishna said, yathechasi tatha kuru, Arjuna says, I will do whatever you want me to do. Krishna said, whatever you want, you do. Arjuna says, whatever you feel is right for me, that I will do. So that kind of voluntary subordination and alignment to the will of God, who is our supreme well-wisher, constitutes the essence of bhakti yoga. That's the ultimate message of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita teaches us to align ourselves to the will of our supreme well-wisher, supreme lover. Whether we know or don't know, we love Krishna the most in our purest state. And whether we know or don't know, Krishna loves us the most, more than anyone else in this entire world. So we love Krishna and Krishna loves us. Our eternal relationship, it's actually eternal. It's permanent. So because of so many material coverings covering our consciousness, we are unable to realize this fact. And Bhagavad Gita reveals this fact and teaches us how to realize this fact. So the essence of Bhagavad Gita is to align with Krishna's will. As communicated to us through the scriptures, through acharyas, through devotees, in the association of devotees. Now, we also try to understand and assimilate the message of Bhagavad Gita ourselves personally in the association of like-minded spiritual seekers. And we should also try to
propagate this message to others, so especially on this auspicious occasion of Gita Jayanti, how do we preserve things? If it is a pickle or if it is some eatable item, we put it in glass jars. You see, how do you preserve a pickle? So you put it in glass jar. If you need, you may put some cloth on it and then you tighten the, the lid. So that is like preservation for certain items. But here, how do you preserve knowledge, culture, values? By propagating them. So the scriptural knowledge is preserved by propagating the knowledge. So this is a scene from monsoon. In the village, there are mud roads, not tar roads or cement roads generally. So during monsoon, people don't walk on these roads so much. So many grasses and herbs, the shrubs grow on this pathway and they eventually cover the pathway. When the pathway is covered, you cannot walk on that pathway. And why the pathway is covered? Because you did not walk on that pathway. During the monsoon, you did not use that. So many grasses grew. So similarly, when scriptures are not studied properly, then the path which is being shown by the scriptures is covered by the speculations and misinterpretations of mundane speculators. They misinterpret Bhagavad Gita. When the pure explanations of Bhagavad Gita given by Vaishnava Acharyas are not studied well, then the misinterpretations will cover the pure, pristine path of spiritual life which is shown by Bhagavad Gita. Then the path back to Godhead becomes inaccessible. Scripture shows the path back to God, back to Vaikuntha, but when they are not studied properly, then the path is covered by the speculations of people. So Sukadeva Goswami speaks like this. When generation doesn't study all the scriptures, doesn't propagate this message of scriptures, they themselves do not implement this message of scriptures, they do not teach this message to later generations, the later generation will not have any inspiration to study only. So it is the responsibility of a sincere spiritual seeker to make an honest effort to understand the essence of the scriptures and try to apply it in one's own lives. So to the best of our ability, one need not become a scholar, as I said, but at least one should associate with people who are knowledgeable of scriptures and understand the essence and try to implement it. So that way we can keep the path back to Godhead open without having the grasses of misconceptions grown on that path. So it's an eternal investment. Whatever time we spend with our scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, it's an eternal investment. So, yah shastra vidhim utsrujya vartate kamakarataha na sasiddhim avapnoti na sukham na parangatim. So if we keep aside the scripture and then act according to our own whims and imaginations and concocted processes, then one may not be able to attain much success. What is good for us is known to God, and He has recorded all the important things that are needed for the humanity in the scriptures. So we need to take advantage of them, and we need to preserve this message by propagating this message. And before propagating this message of Gita, we ourselves should also make an attempt to imbibe those principles in our own lives. So it's a great privilege and great fortune to be able to discuss a few things on Bhagavad Gita in this auspicious occasion of Gita Jayanti. And I am very grateful to all of you for patiently hearing for such a long time. And if there are any mistakes on my part, please forgive me. So I'm very thankful to all of you. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you so much, Gauranga Darshan Prabhu. Let us humbly and loudly express our gratitude by loudly chanting Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! A few small announcements. First of all, we would like to thank all those guests who have come here for the first time to our Sunday Feast program. Hum sabse pehle un sabhi bhakton aur atithiyon ka swagat karna chahenge, jo hamare Sunday Feast program mein pehli baar aaye hain. Hamari guest reception team जो हनुमान जी के पास खड़ी है वो आपका स्वागत करेंगे और आपके लिए एक महाप्रसाद का महाप्रसाद भी देंगे। अगर आपको कोई सवाल है तो आप उनसे पूछ भी सकते हैं। Our guest reception team and his team of devotees will welcome you to Gopinath Mandir by offering you the special Mahaprasad of their lordships. And if you have any questions regarding Krishna consciousness in general or any this temple and its activities in particular, they'll be happily answering your questions. Hum un sabhi bhakton ka hardik swagat kar rahe hain. Also, we would like to thank you for taking your valuable time and coming to the temple for the Sunday feast program. We would like to thank and pray at the lotus feet of their lordships Radha Gopinaji that let today's program be a very auspicious beginning for a long and blissful life in Krishna consciousness for all of you, and that you may please coming back here every Sunday and enthusing us with your presence. Hum aap sabhi bhakton ka keemti samay hamare Sunday feet